Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Hamburg, Germany. Falun Gong practitioners raise awareness of persecution during 2017 G20 summit. Lisbon, Portugal. Practitioners protest visiting Chinese official for persecuting Falun Gong. Sweden. Members of parliament support Falun Gong at Almedalen Week. A young girl finds the purpose of life in Falun Gong. Art teacher tortured at Benqi Prison. And encounters with people in China eager to learn Falun Dafa. Now for the stories.
Hamburg, Germany. Falun Gong practitioners raise awareness of persecution during 2017 G20 Summit. During the recent 2017 G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany, on July 7th and 8th, Falun Gong practitioners took the opportunity to reach out to international leaders, visitors, and local residents to draw attention to the ongoing suppression of Falun Gong in China. In front of the Grand Elise Hotel in the center of Hamburg and on the major walkway of Hamburg's historic dock area, practitioners held banners, distributed informational materials, and talked with passers-by about how the Chinese regime brutally persecutes people for their belief in Falun Gong. One local resident said he had heard about the short waiting time for organ transplants in China more than 10 years ago. Upon learning that the Communist Party detains law-abiding practitioners and kills them for their organs, the man's expression became solemn. "The communist regime won't last long," he said to a practitioner. "Please keep up your work of raising awareness, both for your sake and for those persecuted in China." Mr. Joe, manager of a software company in Hamburg, took part in the event. For him, the persecution in China has hit particularly close to home. "My mother-in-law, Yi Julan, was arrested at her home in China in December 2014 for practicing Falun Gong. In May 2015, officials sentenced her to 3 years of imprisonment and held her at the Nanhui prison in Shanghai," he said. Ms. Yi, 69, was formerly an engineer for a Hunan radio station. However, because of heart disease and severe joint pain, she had to retire early while only in her 40s. Mr. Zhou said shortly after she began to practice Falun Gong in 1998, her heart disease was completely resolved. The joint pain and leg pain was also gone. She was so happy. But after the Communist Party started to suppress Falun Gong in 1999, Ms. Yi could no longer freely practice her belief. The local police often came to her home to harass her, and she was arrested in 2002 as she was distributing materials about Falun Gong. She was arrested again in 2010, then most recently in 2014. "Falun Gong helped my mother-in-law become a healthier person and a better citizen. That is why she would never give up her belief, no matter the pressure," Mr. Zhou explained. "I hope that more people can help us bring about an end to this persecution," he added.
Lisbon, Portugal. Practitioners protest visiting Chinese official for persecuting Falun Gong. Portuguese Falun Gong practitioners gathered in front of the Belém Palace in Lisbon on the morning of July 12, 2017, to protest visiting Chinese official Zhang Dejiang. With banners reading, "Bring Zhang Dejiang to justice," and "Stop forced organ harvesting in China," practitioners explained how Zhang had been heavily involved in the suppression of Falun Gong in China. Currently serving as chairman of the Standing Committee of the National People's Congress, Zhang was formerly the party secretary of Zhejiang Province, Guangdong Province, and Chongqing. He played a significant role in leading the Communist Party's suppression of Falun Gong in these areas. For example, over 30 practitioners died in Guangdong between 2002 and 2006 as a result of torture while in police custody. Among them, one pregnant practitioner died in a brainwashing center after physical and mental abuse. Zhang continued to lead the suppression of Falun Gong after he arrived in Chongqing. In particular, he claimed that Falun Gong practitioners were linked with mob activities and ordered schools to add party propaganda defaming Falun Gong into their textbooks. During the event in Lisbon, practitioners made announcements to the public in both Chinese and Portuguese detailing Zhang's crimes. They also urged the Portuguese government and international society to pay attention to the severe human rights violations still taking place in China.
Sweden, members of parliament support Falun Gong at Almedalen Week. The first week of July is Almedalen Week, an important forum in Swedish politics held each year in Visby, a city located on Sweden's island of Gotland. Almedalen is an opportunity for seminars, speeches, and other political activities. Falun Gong practitioners took the opportunity to talk to politicians, government officials, and the many other attendees to raise awareness about their peaceful spiritual practice and the persecution it faces in China. They set up a booth on the main street in a location that all visitors passed by. The booth was right beside a media center where the VIPs were interviewed. Government ministers and other politicians came and went all day long, a great opportunity to meet VIPs face to face. A Falun Gong car tour across Sweden also began this week. It will continue for about 6 weeks and will pass through all of Sweden's 7 provinces. Donnersplatz is a local center square where rallies are held during Almedalen Week. Practitioners spent an hour each day on Donnersplatz, where they spoke to the crowd about Falun Gong, the persecution and organ harvesting atrocities targeting Falun Gong practitioners in China. Niklas Malmberg and Hans Rothenberg, both members of parliament, came to the rally to speak in support of Falun Gong efforts against the persecution. Both are active in other efforts against illicit organ trafficking. In his speech, MP Malmberg said, "Several MPs and I jointly set up a network in parliament against organ trafficking. I hope more MPs, government, and the public learn about the organ trafficking in China. I put forward a bill in parliament and hope that, like other countries, Sweden will have a code banning people from going to China for organ transplants." In his speech, MP Hans Rothenberg said, "Not long after we held our May 3rd forum in parliament for this issue, live organ harvesting, the Chinese embassy contacted us. Apparently, the Chinese government is afraid of our exposure of the crime. They fear more people will learn about this and stop them. Of course, we are not afraid of them. We will continue our effort to pass the bill." They both spoke out about the horrors of organ harvesting atrocities, saying that the evidence is unquestionable.
A young girl finds the purpose of life in Falun Gong. Even when Liu Naijing was 5, she always pondered the purpose of life. She thought that so many people come to this world, they grow up, go to school, get old, and eventually pass away. What is the point? No one could give her an answer back then, but she knew clearly that the purpose of life was not merely what she saw. There had to be something else. What was this something else? She didn't find the answer until she learned Falun Gong with her mother. When she was in high school, her mother started to practice Falun Gong. 2 months later, Naijing joined her. She said, "When I first opened the book Zhuan Falun, the main book of Falun Gong, I saw the pattern of a Falun symbol, which looked righteous. When I saw the words truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, I suddenly felt that I had found the answers to the questions I'd been asking my entire life. This was it. This was what I'd been looking for." She finished reading the whole book. Naijing had serious stomach problems since she was little. She tried different Chinese and Western treatments, but nothing worked. She was in pain and had to take pills every day. She also had a weak immune system and often caught the flu. When she first read Zhuan Falun, she felt warmth all over her body. That night, she felt like she had a fever. Her forehead was burning, but she didn't feel sick. She understood that Master Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong, was purifying her body. She wasn't worried or scared. The second morning, her temperature came down and she felt completely fine. Her stomach problem disappeared, and she has never since been bothered by it. She was also no longer lactose intolerant and no longer experienced car sickness. Cultivating herself based on the principles of Falun Gong not only healed her diseases but also improved her relationships with others. Nai Jing used to be self-centered and controlling, sometimes even hurtful. From the teachings of Falun Gong, she learned to be more considerate of others and put herself in their shoes. During her free time, Nai Jing often joins all types of events to introduce Falun Gong to the public. She plays the waist drum with her sister and other practitioners in community festivals and parades. She said, "With what I've learned from Falun Gong, I can overcome all kinds of tribulations and tests. As long as I keep looking within for my own problems, if it is my fault, I'll fix it. If it is not my fault, I forgive others. Guided by the teachings, I can improve myself, and that feeling is wonderful."
Art teacher tortured at Benxi Prison. An art teacher sentenced to prison for his faith was subjected to intense torture during 3 years of incarceration. He survived to tell his story. Mr. Dong Jiyu taught at a modern fine arts design school in Shenyang City before his imprisonment. On October 24, 2013, officers from the Hangu police station charged into the school and unlawfully arrested over 20 teachers and students, including Mr. Dong, for their belief in the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Mr. Dong was illegally put on trial in July 2014 and later sentenced to 3 years in prison. He was tortured with electric shocks, beatings, and solitary confinement. In order to force Mr. Dong to transform by renouncing his spiritual belief, a prison guard instructed the other prisoners to tie up Mr. Dong in a room on the afternoon of November 20, 2015. The room had no video monitoring system. The guard shocked Mr. Dong's hands, head, and neck with two electric batons, while one of the other prisoners grabbed the back of his ears and repeatedly struck his thighs with his knee. Mr. Dong was given no food and was deprived of sleep. The next day, two inmates continued torturing Mr. Dong. They stomped on his bare feet, slapped his face, and struck his thighs with their heels, then forced him to write statements renouncing Falun Gong and watch defamatory videos against the practice. The ordeal went on for 8 days and nights. Mr. Dong could not walk normally for 2 weeks after this abuse. Mr. Dong was placed under strict watch and was not allowed to talk to anyone. His lawyer went to Benxi Prison twice to try to meet with Mr. Dong, but his requests were denied by the prison authorities. Benxi Prison continued to unlawfully incarcerate Mr. Dong until October 23, 2016, when he was finally released.
Encounters with People in China Eager to Learn Falun Dafa by a practitioner in China. I've run into more and more people who want to read the Falun Dafa books and are thankful when they finally meet a Falun Dafa practitioner. I talked to two landscapers in a residential community and told them about Dafa. They were intrigued and stopped their work to listen to me. After explaining the basic facts about Dafa and the persecution, I asked if they wanted to quit the Chinese Communist Party and its youth organizations. They looked at each other and then told me they both wanted to quit the Communist Youth League. Then one asked if I could lend him a copy of the book Juan Falun so he could learn more about Falun Dafa. I lent him the book, but asked that he not lose it or write in it. Since he was from out of town, I told him he could learn the exercises from practitioners in his hometown when his work here was finished. He was genuinely happy. I greeted a man walking by in a park and asked him to sit with me and chat. After finding out that I practiced Falun Dafa, he told me that he had read a Dafa brochure before. I told him that Falun Dafa is a self-cultivation system of the Buddha school, and that practitioners follow the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. I explained how the Communist Party staged the self-immolation hoax on Tiananmen Square to convince the public to support its violent suppression of the practice, how Dafa disciples behave, and that people all over the world practice Dafa. I offered him some more informational materials, but he said that he would prefer to have a copy of Juan Falun instead. I promised that I would get him one. He stood up and gave me a salute. I once greeted a man about 60 years old who was resting in the garden of a new residential community. We chatted about people in the world today. He said people were supposed to be kind. I asked him if he had heard about fallen Dafa. He said he often picked up Dafa materials in the garden and took them home to read. He often repeats to himself, "Fallen Dafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good." I told him about quitting the CCP, which he did right away for both himself and his wife. I explained Dafa's effects on healing and fitness and how Jiang Zemin defamed Dafa. He expressed his interest in learning the practice, and I promised to get him a book. He also told me that he was the groundskeeper at the community. His boss forced him to take down Dafa banners and stickers in the garden that were put up by practitioners. He did not want to throw them away, so he took them home. 2 days later, I brought him a copy of Juan Fallon. He was waiting anxiously for me. He took the book and said that he would not take down any more Dafa materials. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.